The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
3, 2, 1.
Oh yeah, brother.
I don't like doing it in unison. I want to do it myself.
Okay. All right.
Okay, you go for it.
Only because your mom awaits. Otherwise,
two claps. I just want to go. Oh yeah, brother.
There, it's done.
Two claps. You made it weird and made it like a thing.
Now he feels pressured.
Sorry,
he's hungry.
Sorry,
flight's
y'all.
Late.
I got two dudes sandwiched between on each side of me. This is a weird room. I want to be able to deal with her.
I just started sweating.
He's like, can I get
it's
over here?
It's getting weirder.
No, because they actually do this segment at the end of the show. They do a wrap-up. They get one, like, where they just talk about the show, and it's called Two Dudes, One Studio, and they legit talk about their knees being so close together.
Yeah.
Are we lying?
I feel, like, real uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, I mean, I took a shower today, at least.
I didn't even ask that. I don't care what flavor your sack is.
It's too close
marinating
for comfort.
Yeah.
It's too close for comfort. So you obviously, your flight, you had some issues at the airport, but you're here. We thank you for that. I want to play a piece of audio, and I want you to tell me if you recognize this voice.
We're still talking about it.
Contact lenses don't hurt no more.
I mean, the contact lenses, I'll get over that. If we can make it happen, we're going to make it happen. We're talking about it. We'll see what happens.
That was in regards to white chicks. Who was I talking to?
I have no idea who that is.
Yes, you do.
It might be somebody that came out of this, that shared a placenta with me. Or Sean.
So I wanted to ask, because I know we don't have a lot of time.
I don't know. Y'all don't ask me.
Come on. How can I not ask you?
Because I don't know. I mean, whatever they want to do, I don't know. It's one of those things where you don't know. So why talk about something that you just don't know?
God, it would be so good,
though. It's like going, so when... When do you think you'll die? I don't know. Like, I just don't.
But don't you know you're going to die.
I don't know.
Are we going to know?
I think I'll die before we do White Chicks 2. How about that?
Aw, that was so disappointing. My daughter loves that movie. That's one of those movies that kids, people of all, you know, ages love. It's a cult classic. So
yeah, I hope we do it too. But in the meantime, let's talk about life. Because I'm alive, and I'm talking about lives. Stuff. So what I got coming August 16th is kind of like White Chicks times 6.
Whoa.
Except there's no white people.
Okay.
It's called Sextuplets, and I play 7 different characters. It's a makeup movie like White Chicks. I play 7 different characters. I play a guy who goes on a journey to find his birth family because he's adopted, and he finds that he's one of 6 sextuplets. And he meets his brother, Russell, who's played by me. Alan's played by me. I go on a road trip to find my sister, Dawn, who's locked up in prison. We bail her out. She's played by me. So now the 3 of us go find our little brother, who's like 4.5 feet tall, who's in the hospital. He needs
played
a kidney.
You?
Who's played by me. And then we get kidnapped by my other brother, who is also played by me, and my mother comes in to break it all up, and she's also played by me.
Okay, this
wow.
is totally crazy.
Yes.
Did you write this? And
Mike Glock wrote it. Rick Alvarez and I, my producing partner, we wrote it and made it retrofitted it for me.
I mean, what's the interest for you to play every single role in that? Like, what do you...
I like pain.
Is that what it is?
I was going to say, how hard was
I
that to shoot?
I should have just did, like, I realized after the process, I'm a masochist.
Masochist,
which one likes to get kicked in the sack?
Yes. You a masochist.
Yeah, I'm
a masochist. The sadist is the one that likes it, likes to give it. You're like taking it.
I don't like that either. I like the way you phrase it.
He's like, hold on now with the proximity of these guys. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm way too close to have this conversation. Let's use a different analogy.
Okay.
Because he's feeling real thirsty over here.
Oh,
like,
God.
His breathing got heavy.
It's excitement sweat.
At least he can control himself.
Yeah.
It's
exuding from me. I can't.
When you saw the script, did you immediately were you like, okay, I want to do this? Or did you think about it for a minute?
I mean, you're always excited at the challenge of going, yo, I could play 7 different people. I think I have like 75 different personalities, so it was good to play 7. But you're excited by it and just the thought of that optimal creativity. And then when you're about to do it, you start getting excited. And then when you realize that you're going to do 7 hours of makeup, you're going to work for 16 hours after
makeup.
In that makeup. And it's 40 pounds of extra makeup on you. in the summertime and you need an hour and a half to take the makeup off, and you're going to sleep for 2 to 3 hours every night for 50 days, the excitement goes from, oh, yeah, to...
What the fuck was I thinking?
Fuck this.
Are you proud
of... And
I
couldn't be mad at anybody.
Now you're done.
I just kept saying, fuck me, because it's my fucking fault for wanting to be creative. And I should have just been like, yo, fuck this.
Just cut the check, yeah.
But you got to look back. You got to look at your body of work and be proud, I would assume. I mean...
I think it's an incredible movie. I think when you see the movie, what was great about the movie is you immediately forget the fact that I'm playing all these different characters. And I think, you know, all praises to, you know, Richard Pryor and Eddie Murphy, who's done this before me. But this is different. I think if you're going to do a movie, and Eddie took it to a whole nother level with Nutty Professor. Mm. So if you're going to come behind that, you have to come with something different. Eddie did 2 scenes where the family was together. I'm doing an entire movie where I'm on a road trip with 3, 4
with yourself.
Different characters. I am the cast. And you forget that I'm playing all these different people. And my other brother, Ethan, is trying to steal my identity, and he's home with my pregnant wife. And he
so
looks
immediately
most like,
the audience develops a relationship with each individual character, all even though it's you.
And
but
they're all different.
That is brilliant.
We'll see.
I'm ready to see it now.
I'll never get the credit that deserved. It always eludes me. But
this, I know exactly what you're
this
saying.
This is an impossible movie to do. And I love all the actors that didn't make a movies and got awards. Like, you know, look, Robin Williams, he didn't miss Doubtfire. He was magical.
You're right. I fell in love with both characters. You're absolutely
he was
right.
Magical.
You know,
Vice. I really thought they did a good job with Vice. I thought, what's the movie where, After Hours, After Dark, it's the one Gary Oldman won the Oscar for.
I don't even remember.
Where he played the English prime minister.
Okay, I know what you're talking about, I think it is After Hours. I think we're all going to get it wrong. Somebody's going to...
Our darkness.
Either way, he won.
After our darkness.
Why would you say, I want to go back. Why would you say you think...
But he won an Academy for... But those are dramas, right? In this movie where it's a comedy and you're talking about like acting and you're talking about the things that you endure as an actor to put something and make something live and breathe. I'm playing 7 different people in a scene with myself.
But why don't you think you get the accolade?
Because
like, what do you think it is?
It's just the curse of comedy. People don't look at comedy. They don't embrace it, to me, the way that it should be embraced. It's an art form as well. It's not just drama. Making people cry. Look, we all have pain. The art of comedy is, can I take my pain and make you laugh with it? And
can we have like that connection? And
yeah, when
feel
and when
that.
Eddie did Nutty Professor, playing 6 people at a table. He's in a fat suit, which is like 50 pounds, and he's giving you emotion through the fat suit. And like did he get nominated for that? But
no,
he should have won.
I mean, he should have won something.
He
I think
won.
A lot of comedians go through that, and that's why they have to cross over. You see. From Tom Hanks to Jamie Foxx to
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. I don't understand it because you're right. Comedy. Trying to do stand-up, I can't even imagine. Which is more difficult, movies or stand-up for you? Or what's the difference?
This movie was way more difficult than any stand-up.
Well, yeah,
stand-up
you're playing everybody
set.
In the movie.
Yeah. It's what you have to endure. Like, to sleep for 2.5 hours for 50 days. To sit in makeup for 7.5 hours and then have to perform for 12 to 18 hours after that. So I'm the first one in work. I'm the last one to leave. And then I'm the first one back into work. And then you got to be funny under all this duress without sleeping. And then I can't work out because I have no time on my day. So I'm starting to gain weight. So now the fat suit is starting to
like, get tighter.
It's like, getting tighter and tighter.
We don't even need a fat suit.
Yo, it's crazy. Like, and like my arms would go numb, my limbs would go numb. Like this was a it, like the heat exhaustion, and you have like this thing on your chest that gives you cool water. It's like a cool suit, but only on your chest. This was impossible. So stand up is, okay, I'm just going to deal with like 400 drunk people for a little. I'm going to make people laugh based on my pain. And it's scary as hell. It could be. But if you know what you're doing, I don't trip on stand-up. Stand-up to me is a fun art form, and it is hard, but I've learned that as long as you speak truth and as long as you know how to flip truth into funny, you'll be fine.
And the movie is just obviously, this particular movie you're very proud of, and I think you should be. I can't imagine playing that. And for the Academy, I don't know.
I am part of the Academy.
Yeah, I don't understand why.
You got one vote, right?
Yeah, I'm a vote for myself.
Yeah, you better. Yeah, you should. What do you think the holdup is? Why is it so difficult to give comedians that respect that they deserve? I mentioned a few, and it's hard to be funny.
I mean, every now and then you break through. I mean, like Robin Williams, I believe,
he broke through, yeah.
Was nominated for Miss Doubtfire. I'm not sure if he won for Miss Doubtfire.
I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
But, you know, his work was recognized that it was all. It's hard work, you know, but I just think that back in the day, the Oscars used to embrace comedy. Like the first Oscars won, a lot of them were comedies. And so I don't know what happened. Now is everything is the drama and the special effects. And, you know, for me, I just go, I don't think I'll ever do a movie as hard as the movie I just did.
Well, I'm excited to see
Sextuplets, August 16th on Netflix.
I was about to ask, when is it coming out?
How big a deal did you get with Netflix? Because I know that you're doing a lot of stuff with Netflix.
Yeah, what'd you make?
I beg your nosy pardon.
Well, I see that change.
Well, you're doing multiple things with Netflix.
I'm
mad you are in my space. Now you in my space. I'm doing all right.
I was going to say,
I ain't doing as well as her. I could get the chain, but I can't get the watch.
Oh, settle down. So settle you're doing a little down. Bit better than
me. I'm doing all right. My kids is eating.
Shout out to young Sean the Hooper. Oh, your son out there getting buckets, and yeah, I've slowly become a fan of him. And I noticed you tag, like, every time you post one of his videos.
I know nothing about the son of the basketball.
Young Sean Wayans. I don't know what class he is coming up.
My son, he's a 17. He's 17. He's about to be a senior in high school, and he plays for BTI Hoops. And he's out right now in Vegas playing in a tournament. They won two games. He's just scored 15 points. He's a baller.
Do you ever go full AAU dad at these basketball tournaments? Has Marlon Wayans ever got thrown out?
What were you doing?
I'm so bad. I got kicked out of my daughter's school at my son's game.
No.
So that's embarrassing as hell. That's a 2-for-1. So I got kicked out of my son's game at my daughter's school. I'm a legend. So what I've learned is, like, for me right now, I'm working my tail off to try and be great at my craft, and I allow my son to have, he knows I support him, he knows I love him, but sometimes when I go to his games, it's a distraction, because then the crowd comes and they come to look at me, and it's like he just wants to ball and hoop on his own. So,
well, that's his moment, and you want him to have that moment.
So I don't go to all of his games. I go to the ones I can make, but while you go get your great son, daddy gotta go get his, and hopefully we keep inspiring each other to just be great, and one day we make it.
How's the co-parenting? You know, is that good?
Is it my best friend? I love that woman to death.
I love that. We actually had a discussion about this.
I feel like if only thing missing is we don't have sex. Like but we love each other. I love that woman. She loves me.
Thank you.
Oh, to death.
We had an argument on the air. These two were like, I couldn't be friends. I couldn't be together. We're married.
This is my husband.
I know, right? You never
know. Not yet.
Hey.
We're married.
I don't know. You think that we're married. I feel all this heat over here.
He's trying to get closer and closer.
We were saying that I could, like, I was saying if we were to split, I don't know that I could work with her.
What? Why not?
Like, because
you can absolutely.
It would be hard.
Then You'd be being a bitch ass nigga. That's what we call that.
You said you've
worked with your ex.
You'd be too much in your emotions, and the reality of it is, it's not your ex. How long you been together?
Over 10 years. Yeah.
How many kids you have?
One daughter.
Right. So you're not ex. There's never an ex. You guys are forever.
There's always
blood.
A connection.
You're forever connected deeper than anybody, because y'all legacy is the two of you and that child. And when you're gone, you're still got little U's popping off. So why would you not be able to love each other just because you're not together. You should love her no matter what, because you're always going to be together. You're always going to be bonded by the experience of the child. I don't think marriage is the big thing. I think having children, when you're in the blood, that's even bigger than marriage. And when you have experience, unconditional love and acceptance is the greatest love you can ever have. And even if you're not together, you should still be able to work together, still champion for her. You should still champion for him.
And want the best for that person. Absolutely. Because no matter what, there's that connection. And I don't believe that just love isn't always enough to keep people together.
Bitch ass today, though.
Well, I'm just calling, calling you your shit.
I've been a bitch, and I ain't got no kids or nothing, so I'll be out. So,
well, that's just because you lean too far close to the dude in the middle.
Now I know my lean's wrong.
Yeah, your lean is wrong.
My lean's wrong.
Lean that way. You keep leaning over. You ain't my I thought you was trying to get to his side. I was like, let me move out of here.
I was trying to lean.
You've obviously been keeping something from all of us. I'm just kidding. But I love that you said that, and I had read that you guys are pretty much best friends, and that you love that, and I think that it's important, especially with children. You see a lot of parents that split, and they take everything out on these children, and it has nothing to do with that child. That you should be able to coexist and be good parents without hurting the person you brought
together,
into the world.
I go over to their house and I'll eat there. I would invite them to my house, but it's a mess. When I redo my house, I'm gonna have a family dinner once a week. They come over to my house or twice a week. We go, I take them to the restaurants. I date my family. I love them to death. And their mom, on her birthday, she turned 50. We went to, I shouldn't say that out loud. She turned,
she turned a certain
age. Yeah. She looked great. She don't look 50, but she looked great. So I took her to Mexico and bought all her friends and had a beautiful house on the beach, had a great dinner. I bought her a beautiful watch. You would think we're still together, but we're not. And we stopped having sex 8 years ago, but we love each other.
Yes.
I feel like if we had sex, it would mess it up
because the part that was broken. That part, not that it was, yeah. I'm not saying, but you understand what I mean. That's the part.
Women hold a grudge in their vagina. So I let her vagina be mad.
Yes, it's all her fault. Of course.
Well, no.
Just blame it on the vagina.
No, the vagina held a grudge.
The
it was reacting
life.
To the stupidity of what my dick did. So that's how it works. So I'm the cause, and the vagina was the reaction.
Yes. Yes.
But it wasn't me, and it wasn't her. It was just our body parts. They don't know how to communicate. They don't
have that's what it
brains.
Was. You better tell your dick what to do.
It does what it wants to do. That's why it's a dick.
And that's why you don't want to be married.
Yeah, I don't want to be married.
Good. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a good thing.
You know what? I've always said that. I've never been married.
Oh, you weren't ever married? Okay.
I've never been married.
I think that you have to be honest.
When I get older, older people come to me and they go, you have never been married? I said, no. They said, how old are you? I said, I'm 47. You've never been married? I said, no. They said, good. I said, why? They said, you skipped two divorces.
And save you some money.
That's my third marriage.
Huh?
That's my third marriage. And I feel like I'm finally
third
happy.
One. Because what? Right.
I swear to God, I feel like I'm finally happy. I promise.
You know why? Because
today.
It takes you a while to figure love out. Because it takes you a while to figure out that love is not about that person. That love is about loving myself. And now I can love that person. I don't need to argue with you about my issues. I'm dealing with my issues. When you get married and you're young, here's all my issues. Fix them.
The other person the same. Instead of growing together, you're trying to feed off of each other. And you can't take and take
and
take.
You don't even know who you are until you're
30. You really don't.
Yeah.
You really don't.
And now you're grown. Now if you go, hey, babe, let's go to a strip club. She's like, word, I'm going to bring a wad of cash. Let's go. Right?
22-year-old me might be like, don't be looking at her.
Right.
What are you doing? Why did you? I saw you.
Now you'll be like, look what I've got for us, baby.
Yes.
See?
No.
That's
no, not
part.
That.
No.
Not that. No. We're not that
I'm
cool.
Trying to help you
she
out.
Ain't that cool.
I'm trying to help
you're
you out.
To help I've been working, but it's never going to happen.
Let me do this.
Never.
I almost had it.
He already said, I'm just going to die without this, all right?
I'm just going to die without it. It's
no,
okay.
No, you got to have, listen, if she
you
really
gotta
loves.
You got to have one, nothing.
You got it one time.
No.
You got to.
Nope.
You have to.
Then y'all, go ahead.
I think I'm leaning, once again, I think I lean too far into being this convo.
I'm like, because it ain't happening with Yeah. This mujer.
I'd let go of
Listen,
it.
Listen, you guys are in Texas. This is the swinger state. Go rock out. Who cares?
It is not a swinger state.
Go rock
go
out.
Swing out.
Go have something. Go have something you can giggle about. Like, remember we did that? Remember we did that? That's what it's like when you do a menage. You're just like, yo, remember that time we did this? Yo, that was so funny. Even if it turns out
bad. It
was
bad, so funny.
You can laugh about it.
Every menage
you
know, I've had is bad.
There's an old rocker dude. I used to love, you know, following him.
I've had great ones. Okay.
Old rocker radio guy. And he gave trips away every year to the Bunny Ranch. I don't know, some legal brothel in Nevada.
In Vegas.
And this guy, we were talking about this very topic, and he called. He said, I got to tell you guys something. I won this trip, and I convinced my wife to come. And we did. We had the threesome. Now, she said, I'd do it if you one day will let me do it with a man. And he said, okay. And he said it was the worst experience of his life because he was done and wife had all the fun. He's like, and I had to sit there and watch it.
He's like, I was done in two. Well, I
don't like the deal there. That's a bad deal. I don't like the deal.
I'm never going to sign up for that. That's a terrible deal.
Embarrassing.
But here's the thing,
because
women, you're only doing that to be catty. Do you really want, like, the two dudes?
I don't.
Right, exactly. So then why are you doing that? Let's just take that on the table. We're sharing the girl. It can be a fun experience.
Women are beautiful.
Yes.
No, it's not fun. It's not fun. That for me, I just
listen,
not my thing.
You're not high enough. You gotta pop something.
I don't pop, smoke, snort, nothing.
Do it sober. This is a bad thing. First thing you gotta do is get a high on something. She has to drink something.
I would pass out. You know,
yeah, she's
I'd
horrible. Yeah. She's horrible on drugs.
I can't do anything. Yes.
Would you have a weed?
No. I he had me smoke one time, and I woke up 11 hours later. And he said no more. You can't have no more of this.
woke up. Like, hey, what's up, baby? You should have seen you.
It was.
Oh, you went to town on her.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to stop you. I said, baby, stop doing that. Let's stop doing that.
This man, those ideas. Stop doing that. No.
No, but here's the thing. Like, whatever y'all choose to do in your marriage is between you and your husband. And, you know, it's like you only live once. Have fun.
Yes.
Enjoy life. Have a smile.
Yes.
Don't have no regrets. Like, I can't believe you did that with her. It's like, yo, go have fun.
Is this really something you want?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ooh. See, that's the problem.
Come on, Otto. It's what you want, dude. Right? You want. Say it.
Look at you. See, you're smart enough to know.
I'm smart enough not to know. Yeah.
Because the way she said, is that really what you want?
Nah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Mama tripping. Well, me and my ex, she should be like, I wish she would. I'm like, nah, we don't need to do that. I wish she would. Oh, so she gonna go down on you? Yeah. Yeah, no, we should do it. Let's see what happens. When you say it
like
that,
never mind.
I see a vase being smashed over her head. And that's not fun for me. That's
or
fun.
Over your head.
No, that's
somebody
even
might get
worse.
Stabbed. Somebody might lose their life.
But sometimes you gotta take chances in life.
That is not the kind of chance. It doesn't sound sexy. Well, none of that sounds
light
sexy.
Light some candles. It doesn't sound sexy in a lit room with three guys on the same side.
One of who is sweating a lot. That's
this
me.
Is just.
Why are you so nervous?
I'm weird as hell.
Threesomes. I told you I had a bad threesome experience with two strippers, and I basically ended up being like a vagina buffet platter on the bottom of it because I.
Didn't they steal from you, though?
No, that was a whole different story.
Oh, okay. Well.
But yeah, anyway, so that's why I'm getting nervous when we talk about threesomes and whatnot. But y'all go ahead back to your relationship threesomes, whatever y'all want to talk about.
A vagina platter, what?
Here's what happened.
Yeah,
dude.
I want to hear what your definition of a vagina platter is.
There's no such thing as a bad menage. A bad menage, even if you couldn't get it up, then you become one of the girls, and you're just gonna do a lot of
it got up
licking
and got,
that day.
That's what I mean. It got up and got out, and I just was literally the ground surface for it. They were on top, pleasuring each other. Oh. At a certain point, that's kind of like hell. You're just sitting there.
No, that means that. Listen, if she's there doing that, then one of them is open.
He wasn't invited.
Out. I was already tapped.
Oh, you already
bro.
Tapped.
And
out.
Even if she's busy
out?
With that, there's two holes. Work around.
Well, next time
be
I'm
creative.
In that situation, I'll FaceTime you. And you can coach me.
Please
it.
Don't do that because once again, you're already in this
Are we
zone.
Leaning? Did I lean too much already?
Yes. Look how your microphone's over here. God damn it, nigga.
Now you're inviting him to join you during sex on a FaceTime.
And now what you're doing is you're taking away the fun of the menage, which is two girls and one guy.
Inviting
now you're
in
evening
there.
It up, and you're making it an orgy, and now it's uncomfortable for me.
It's, I mean, for me too.
I want to be the only penis in the room.
Yes. That's definitely, yeah. Hey,
just me and you.
I was going to say, I'm not saying anything.
Just us two. You know, what's that old song? I don't know what it is, just me and you. It's yeah. the old,
just
it's
the
on,
two of us.
It's
just,
on yeah. Poetic Justice, right? What is that song? I don't know what it is, but that's us, right?
I don't
there.
Know, but it's a terrible song.
It was a
forgot
great
it.
Song.
Can you see that she's getting crazier and crazier?
I am.
The more
I'm
she thinks about
like,
it.
Oh, yeah. When you leave the room, we're going to have a conversation.
Wow.
We're going to have a little conversation.
You
no,
may be
kidding.
On fourth marriage.
No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No. Well.
Is that a point? Like, it's just like, you know, just do it. You know, have fun.
No,
you know,
no.
Live
no.
a little.
I see you getting married in 10 years. You're like the George Clooney of comedy.
Yeah, I probably am.
You know, he got older and then he found his,
because
his
I'm,
partner.
Because
and
you get ready to just like.
Had his kids in chill. His 60s or whatever the hell he is.
Well, I have kids. My kids yeah. are 19 and 17, and they'll just be like some cool old uncles to
yeah.
my new tribe of kids.
Yeah. Well, I'm anxious to see the movie. I'm very excited. I want to thank you for all of the years of entertainment and
thank
for
you.
Being a part of something. We talked about this before you came in the room, but I want you to know this. At a time when I turned the TV on and there weren't people of color on, and I got to see that, it was very important to me and to a lot of people, and I want you to know that.
Oh, thank you.
Because it gave me a...
Your whole family, really.
It let me imagine, I can do that. Oh my gosh, I can be a part of that.
Well, thank you.
When there was a time when there was no... There was just
no
not,
color. It was
no, and it yeah. also, and if there was, it was a certain type of programming, and you brought entertainment that I truly enjoyed, appreciated, and it, you know, it's something that live in the culture forever.
Well, I'm proud of those moments, and I'm happy that we were able to provide that, and I'm proud of the Renaissance, and proud of where it's at now, to where now we're seeing even more
yes.
diversity, and it's refreshing. We can all watch what we want and watch stories that we can all connect with. And it's good to see the evolution 30 years later, you know, where I think we're digressing as a society, at least in the entertainment world. We're starting to see a lot more diversity.
Cool. Last, I have a question for you. You, I've seen you speak about it.
Go for it.
Go ahead. I've seen you speak about it a couple of times.
I ain't gonna take all your food.
That's your food.
That's yours.
That's you.
I want a few of these.
That's so good, huh?
I've seen you talk about it a couple of times, and you said you want to reach for greatness as a performing artist and a stand-up comic. What is greatness to you?
I'm sorry, I'm eating, nigga.
Okay. All right. Literally sat on that for like 2 days, and that's what I get.
And thank you.
And that's what I get.
All right, what's that?
My no. way. The Dana Cortez Show. Y'all make some noise. Woo!
That was great. The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Hey!